Thank you, and good morning, and welcome once again to the radio program of the Independence Baptist Church of Forestdale, Missouri. We're glad you're listening this morning, and it is our prayer that God would give you the understanding of what His Word is, and that God would help us this morning as we deliver a portion of His Word. We would like to take this opportunity to invite you to the church services at the Independence Baptist Church. We have our Sunday school beginning this morning at 10 o'clock. We have regular classes for all ages, and we have excellent teachers who study the Bible, and they live good, clean Christian lives. And we'd like for you to come and just see for yourself what Independence Baptist Church believes, what we practice, and how we live. We invite you to come, and don't take someone else's word for what we believe, but come and see for yourself what God's Word, what we believe about God's Word. We have our regular worship service beginning this morning at 11 o'clock. And then tonight at 4 o'clock we meet again to have our prayer service, and then at 4:30 for our regular evening worship. At 7 o'clock on Wednesday night we have our midweek Bible study. So these are our services, and we invite you to come, and we know this, that we come to worship God. And if you want to worship God, and you want to worship Him according to the dictates of the Word of God, then you're welcome to come to the Independence Baptist Church in Forestdale, Missouri. I know that a lot of people want to worship God their way. Well, we want to worship God His way. And we invite you to come and just live and see what God's Word has to say to you. God will bless you when you follow Him. We want to continue this morning in our study. We've been speaking the last few Sunday mornings concerning the seven sayings of the Savior on the cross. And we're down to lesson number 5, and we've noticed this in the book of John chapter 19. And we closed out last time speaking about the power of Jesus when He was hanging on the cross. And we know this, that Jesus is God. He is God and He is man. He is not half and half. But God has revealed Himself in Jesus in a total way. Jesus is the God-man. And last time we read in John chapter 19, verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. This morning we'd like to bring out this point. That when Jesus was hanging upon the cross of Calvary, He was in absolute, total control. Now, I know that looking at the death of Jesus Christ, it doesn't look like He's in control. How could a man be in control, skeptics would say, when he is nailed on a cross? When His enemies have placed a crown of thorns upon His head, when His enemies have beaten Him with a cat of nine tails until the blood ran free and the bones were showing, how could a man be in control? When His enemies have placed the purple robe upon His back and put Him in front of a multitude, and they have mocked Him, putting a reed in His hand, how could a man be in control in a time like that? Well, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ was in control because He is God. The sufferings that Jesus is going through, He is going through on purpose. This is the reason that Jesus Christ came into the world. Jesus did not come into this world that men would applaud Him, that men would set Him up to be an earthly king. Jesus came into the world to die for sinners, and die He does. He dies at the hand of His enemies, whom He prays for, and who will be saved in 50 short days. Jesus is in control. I want to go back to the book of John, chapter 19. And in our minds this morning, let's go back to the time a day before Jesus was nailed to the rugged cross. And let's go back in the book of John, chapter 18, begin our reading in verse 1. And I want to show you here how much control Jesus was in. Verse 1, the Bible said, "When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, which was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples." Judas, then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. And I want you to see here that men are going to do their worst toward Jesus Christ. Judas has received this band of men. That's about 500 men. There's Judas there. He has the officers that's over these men. The chief priests are there and the Pharisees are there. And they come, and notice what they come with. They come with lanterns and torches. That's plenty of light, isn't it? I mean, they're really putting the light because they're afraid of the dark. They have something else. The Bible says they have weapons. They're going to get Jesus because, and they bring all of their swords and their spears and their armor. They come to get one man. How many people have come to get one man? The Bible says a band of men, that's about 500 men are coming to get one. Wow. They think there's some kind of power there, don't they? You see, Jesus is in control. And these sinners who come to get Jesus know that he's in control. In verse 4, "Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye?" In verse 4, Jesus knew what they came for. Jesus knew they were going to take him. Jesus knew all things about the next 24 hours. Jesus knew it all. Wasn't hid from him. He knew the future. And so he went out and he said to these men, "Whom seek ye?" Verse 5. They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." And I want you to see that the person they came to seek was not the person that they found. They came looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto them, "I am..." And the word "he" is in italics. Just leave that out. Jesus said, "I am." This is the name for Jehovah God. And I want you to see what happened. "And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them." The emphasis there is upon the word "stood." Verse 6. "As soon then as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground." These 500 men, soldiers armed with lanterns, torches, and weapons, came to get Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And when Jesus said, "I am," they fell backward to the ground. Jesus did not have to threaten them at all, because he was God. He was in absolute, total control of the situation. Now, can you imagine this scene? Jesus is standing there, and all he's done, as he stands before this 500 men, and they have their lanterns and their torches and their weapons, all Jesus has said is, "I am," and there they are, laying flat on their back, all 500 of them. And they're looking around at one another, and evidently they get up. The Bible doesn't say here anywhere that they get up, but I assume that they do. And when they get up, Jesus says to them, "Whom seek ye?" And here these people are standing there looking around one another with their swords in their hands and their lanterns in the other hand. and they say, Jesus of Nazareth. And this time, Jesus says in verse 8, I have told you that I am. He says, I'm the one you're seeking. And then Jesus says, if therefore you seek me, let these go their way. And there Jesus is talking about his disciples that are there with him. He says, don't take my disciples. If you want me, just take me. Let all these other people go. And the reason Jesus said that is recorded in verse 9. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou hast given me have I lost none. Now, Jesus is in total control. He's asking his disciples be set free. But notice Simon Peter in verse 10. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Peter has in his mind to defend Jesus. But listen, Jesus doesn't need to be defended. Jesus knows what he's doing. He's in absolute total control. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword under thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And in another place, the Bible says that Jesus took that Malchus' ear that had been cut off. He took that ear and put it back on that man's head and healed it. And it quit bleeding and everything. And you know, the pain went away. And the amazing thing about it is that nobody seemed to notice. His ear was cut off, and you know that hurt, and you know the blood gushed out, and Jesus just healed it, and nothing was... It didn't stop the 500 men from taking Jesus away. You see, God is in control. These men in their wickedness have determined that they are going to take Jesus, and so they're going to do it. And then in verse 12, then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. Do you think that was really necessary? You know, God gave Samson the power to break chains. And now, instead of just binding a man of God, they are binding God himself, Jesus of Nazareth. You know, if Jesus wanted to break those ropes or chains or whatever they tied him with, he wouldn't have any trouble, would he? He could have just broke them and just stood there and looked at them, but he didn't. Jesus allowed himself to be bound by men, by sinful, wicked men. He's in control. And then look in verse 13. The Bible said, and led him away to Annas first. You know, Jesus was not drug away. The Bible said they led him away, as a lamb is led to the slaughter. Jesus was not driven away. But Jesus went willingly because he was in control. This wasn't a surprise, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. It was absolutely, totally on purpose. Well, we see that our time has gone away from us again this morning. We do take this opportunity again to invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church, 124 South Main in Forestdale, Missouri. And we invite you again to listen next Sunday morning to another portion of the Word of God. We're going to try to get into lesson number 6. That is, saying number 6 concerning Jesus as he hung on the cross of Calvary. Remember that we'll be praying for you. And if there's any way that I, as pastor of Independence Baptist Church, can be of a spiritual help to you, I'd be glad to sit down with you and talk to you concerning the Word of God. Thank you now for listening.